Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, Kevin Durant staying engaged with some, let's just call them intense reactions.
Oh, that, come
plays.
On, KD. Like, you know Garrett ain't no leaper like that. Give him some credit.
And the Kyrie one, he was just like, that's nasty. That's just filthy.
Yeah,
right?
But see, that's two different looks of nastiness, no.
Yes. The first one
that was like that was
not
bad.
Inspiring.
Right.
Not at all. That was this kind of nasty versus, ooh, that was nasty. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside our NBA senior writer, Brian Windhorst, Hope of the Hoop Collective podcast. You've got so many jobs, it is hard for me to get them
out.
Best-selling author, bon vivant around town, and the man who only needs one intro title because it's Hall of Famer, Tracy McGrady.
Guys, coming up.
Anthony Davis is in his hometown of Chicago today, offered maybe a little hope to potential suitors for next summer. But would he really actually leave the Lakers? We will discuss. First, though, do you know the dictionary definition of anarchy? Webster says it is, quote, the absence or denial of any authority or established order, which in a way kind of describes the NBA right now. I mean, for years, we had pretty clear lines on all this stuff. LeBron ruled the East, the Warriors ruled the West, James Harden ruled the three-point line. Now, LeBron's in a Lakers uniform, something that even a year plus in often requires a double take. Harden is shooting 25% from three, which also requires a double take. And the Warriors have gone from the Goliath everyone rooted against to, well, not even really David. They're more like if David had a younger cousin who just moved to town from a farm somewhere, and suddenly all of NBA Twitter is on board with them now. They were going nuts last night when rookie Eric Paschal dropped 34-13 to push Golden State past Portland. It's all wonderful and weird and feels a little bit like chaos. And really, who better to rise up in this new lawless NBA reality than, yes, you know who? Rolling the Sons of Anarchy, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, well, not Ayton right now, but Robert Sarver and the always on point Greta. This has been one of my favorite of our shows within a show here at The Jump because, I mean, my God, the saga of this team. Disastrous draft picks at times, too many point guards, not enough point guards, having to give fans free beer at a community event due to a player no-show, and of course, the owner leaving defecating goats in the general manager's office.
No, it's bad.
Phoenix seemed to be off to another rocky start this season when Ayton was suspended 25 games for a drug test violation. But despite that embarrassment, long-suffering Suns fans were convinced that things really were changing. James Jones, finally given the full general manager job, had gone out and hired Monty Williams, one of the most respected, well-liked, and experienced coaches in the league. James also announced he wanted to raise the floor, quote-unquote, of the team, which, I mean, as a rallying cries go, I mean, I'm not sure that basically saying, we're going to be less awful should get printed on a T-shirt anytime soon. But James's point was that if you want your team to play with a base level of professionalism, you need actual, reliable, experienced, good influence professionals.
Yep.
Or as he put it, quote, NBA players, not prospects. Aaron Baines, who can shoot the three and have been sneaky important to Boston's defense these past few years, is one of those guys. Ricky Rubio, as he showed with Spain during the World Cup, is one of those guys. And wow, has his influence in Phoenix already been tremendous. 67% of the Suns' baskets are now assisted. That's best in the NBA for a team that ranked 17th in that category last year. But the most important change for the Suns may be the influence all those pieces have had on Devin Booker, who's always had phenomenal but not entirely developed potential. Last night against Philadelphia, Booker was just sensational, scoring 40 on 15 of 19 shooting. But as flashy as moments like this were, take a look here. And then also here.
Give him the package, Book.
Woo! Just as impressive, guys, were the defensive moments. Watch this. He is just tenacious, Tracy.
Yes, Book.
Over that screen.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Change the culture around there, Monty. Ooh.
By the time the horn sounded, Phoenix had taken down the NBA's last undefeated team, improved to 5-2. Compare that to last year when the Suns didn't get their fifth win until they were 5-24. Will it last? We will see. But honestly, even just a hot start from a franchise that struggled so monumentally for nearly a decade is enough to make you question, well, everything you know as an NBA fan. But that's also sort of the point. The age of NBA anarchy is officially upon us, and there is no better team to be making merriment out of the madness. Tracy, what encourages you most of what you're seeing in this Sun start?
Well, I'm just happy that James Jones has selected a guy like Monty Williams to come in there and change the culture around. A guy that's been under Greg Popovich with the Spurs, winning the championship in 2005, being under Coach K on the national team. So he's been around, you know, a lot of great coaches and been taught well. To bring that culture and carry it over to the Phoenix Suns, where they've been struggling for years, it's a phenomenal job.
Oh,
and
look
yeah,
who
he
that
was
is.
My teammate.
There
just a great Christian guy, you know, God-fearing man, and he's always speaking positivity. And I can see this on his team. I mean, he's putting these guys in great position to basically be the best version of themselves, which is Devin Booker. I mean, it's not just putting up 30 points and your team down 25. Now it's a defensive presence there now, and you can score 30 and give you a chance to win the game. So I like where they're going, and they don't have DeAndre Ayton yet. They're missing him for 25 games. So it's interesting to see if they can continue to improve and get these quality wins on their
Getting Monty Williams was one of the biggest free agent signings in their recent team history, because remember, the Lakers wanted him. You know, they beat the Lakers for Monty Williams, which was a huge moment for them. When you watch them play, you see more defensive accountability. I talked to some scouts who said that their level of talking on defense off the charts now compared to where it was. You mentioned that stat that they're assisting 67% of their shots. Monty Williams is tracking this. He wants them to throw 300 passes a game. It sounds like a lot. That sounds like a lot of passes in a game. And Aaron Baines, now the Ayton thing was a big setback. I was here 2 weeks ago just devastated about this for the team. But Aaron Baines does two things exceptionally well. He's an exceptional screen setter, one of the best screen setters in the NBA, and he is now a good three-point shooter.
Yep.
Put that with Booker, and you get space, and you get a guy to play pick and roll with. He's actually been a terrific sort of accidental getting more minutes, because it's helped them a lot. And I think this is a guy, we talk about the free agent class being light next summer. This is a guy who's going
to
get paid.
And don't minimize the toughness that he brings to this team as well.
Very tough guy, yeah.
Absolutely. And look, defensively all the way around, we showed that clip of Devin Booker. But they're playing that kind of defense all over the floor. Now, it's ticked up the number of fouls they've been committed, but it's clear that Monty Williams is okay with that trade-off. It's, as you said, culture change, right, Tracy? And for a guy like Devin Booker, you were that kind of talented shooter, scorer. To have a point guard like Ricky Rubio, who doesn't demand being a superstar himself, who knows his role, and who has so much, at this point, experience and knowing how to put guys in good positions, what will that do for a guy like Booker?
For him, just for this team, though, and mainly for Booker, is that he doesn't have to be the creator for everybody. It is tiresome when you have to score 30, be the creator for everybody, the facilitator. That wears you down. So to have Rubio, who controls pace, who's a great passer, got a great feel for the game, makes things easier for everybody, and especially for Devin, to where he doesn't have to work as hard. Let Rubio create and get you easy shots to where you just stand on the receiving end and take shots.
He's in such a good – Rubio's in such a good place now. Talking to him in China, he's in such a good place mentally. He's in such a good place about where his game is, and – he's in such a good place about with his family. He lost his mom a couple years ago, which was devastating to him. He's in a very good place, and you see that translate to what he's doing for them.
And that culture you guys have both been talking about, he's such a great partner for Monty Williams because, again, a vet guy and a guy who we saw with Team Spain in the World Cup knows how to bring that long team culture, what we expect here as a team, guys working together. He talked about this summer he wants to bring that to the Phoenix Suns, which is exactly what Monty Williams wants to do. And I was rewatching clips of this game this morning. I think this is one of the best games I've ever seen Devin Booker play.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he has dropped 60 before, and scored 40. 70. Sorry. He's dropped 60.
He didn't have 19 shots 70. That night, though.
Yes. He's dropped only 40 last night, but I just thought he was phenomenal. I thought the whole complete game of his was so great.
This right here it should be like a significant win for him on his career from what he's been through. to know that, okay, we had an undefeated Philadelphia 76ers coming here.
And without Embiid, fair.
Okay, but they don't have DeAndre Ayton.
Fair. Right? I just think I can hear the Philly fans screaming in my ear.
Hey, but it's a quality win. They still were undefeated without him.
Sure. Without him the game before. Let's talk about the Warriors. I mentioned them at the top two. They brought their own version of anarchy last night with the Villanova rookie, 41st overall pick, best friend of Donovan Mitchell, which I love, a little detail about this guy. Eric Paschal, 34 points to take down the Trailblazers on his 23rd birthday. Even Steph excited from afar. Paschal said post-game he was ready for the opportunity.
I mean, I feel like I've been underrated my whole life. And just this opportunity is amazing. I mean, there's not a lot of times where a rookie gets to play 40 minutes against the Trailblazers, Dame and CJ. So to see that and give it an opportunity, you just got to try to make the best of it.
And I just told Eric, the only guy who can keep Eric under 20 is Jay Wright. So.
Kerr, of course, talking about Villanova coach Jay Wright. Wendy, is he like the next Warriors undiscovered gem? They do this all the time.
They hope so. You know, the Warriors have pivoted. They realize that this season is now going to be about development. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see them, when they get the opportunity to make some moves, maybe look to move some of their veteran players who were going to be role players to make room for more young guys. And they have some other guys
who are you saying they're getting rid of?
Well, Alec Burks, Willie Cauley-Stein are guys, I think, after December 15th.
Tracy's like, get him out.
but this is not what they're doing. And so here's the amazing little sweet spot that they're in. They know that they're getting their stars back.
Right.
They haven't had a lottery pick since 2012. Now, that's a good thing. That's something to brag about. But they also haven't been able to replenish their young players. One of the reasons why they're so thin is because they haven't had a stock of young players to replenish it. So the idea here is to find, you know, last year they had, I talked about this before, they had Kendrick Nunn sitting on their G League.
Yep.
They couldn't get him. I don't have a problem. They had to sign Andrew Bogut with their 15th roster spot because they needed him to compete for the championship. Yeah. They couldn't hold on to Kendrick Nunn. So this year they don't want to miss their opportunities to get a guy who could help, not to be the replacement for Kevin Durant, but to be a role player that they're lacking on right now.
Did you like watching this kid last night?
Listen, before this kid had 34 or whatever he had last night, I told my brother, I was watching Golden State play. I said, I like that Paschal kid. Like he was just showing me flashes.
Yep.
I told him I like this kid a lot, and he was like, nah. So last night watching on a plane, I was like, man, I knew I seen something. He just need the opportunity. I text Bob right away. I say, yo, I really like this kid, man. And he was just basically telling me he's not afraid, right? When you got a rookie like this, I mean, he's big, physical, strong.
Yeah, he plays very, very strong.
He plays strong. And he's not afraid to take mid-range jumpers. And they won the game last night taking mid-range jumpers. I really, really like this kid. I think he has a bright future.
There's some good rookies.
Really good rookie class this year.
I like, by the way, when Trace says, you know, I text Bob Myers, the GM of the Warriors, who is your former agent.
My guy.
You can just be like, eh, whatever. Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' opponent last night, Portland. Sorry, producer Bodmer. They're now below 500 after making significant roster changes. Did they undervalue continuity, or is this just an injury issue?
It's a make or miss league.
make miss.
Ovo liga promašaj pogodaka.
And get back.
All right, Nick.
Well, my shot.
Make confidence. John Morant out in transition tries to dunk on the entire Rockets franchise, but goes down a little bit.
What
funky.
The?
Take another look.
And they didn't call a foul?
Watch this.
Oh, okay. I guess
To use the parlance of our times, this guy has been hunting bodies, Rachel. He is going to get one. He's come close.
I love when you try to.
He's come close a few times.
Get Russ trying to give him some tips there. So, Mac, what do you think he said?
Just keep going. Just stay aggressive. Just keep attacking.
If anyone knows about barreling to the hoop.
You got that right.
Right?
You got that
guy.
It's going to be a rough year. That's okay. Keep going. I've been there.
That is certainly true. I like that young Memphis team.
Come so close.
Finishes staying in Memphis. Clint Capella feeling confident in his footwork. And this does not go well either.
What the? Come on, Clint.
Listen, when you're going up against the defensive wall that is Jonas Valanciunas, this is what happened.
He sneezed? Like, that's what the guys downstairs were like, maybe he sneezed.
That was bad.
He pretended like, oh man, I'm
hurt. I can't.
What had happened was,
maybe he tried to dunk over him from there.
Big reactions for the first time as a Sixer. Al Horford flinched at a free throw miss. He brought it back.
And then, he was like, damn, I did it.
At the end of the game, Devin Booker.
Next time I see Al, I really got to ask him about this. I was his teammate in Atlanta. I never noticed this.
This is pretty amazing, right?
Yes, it is.
And he has, people have asked him, and he has said, like, oh, I'm just joking around. But it doesn't, I mean.
No. Look, he's mad at himself. He's mad at himself that he did it again.
That one looked a little more on purpose. Devin's was obviously on purpose. It's pretty amazing. That was not on purpose, that one. Miss stability. Third quarter in Brooklyn. Keep your eye on Lonzo. Stumbles twice here.
Oh, no. This has happened to me before. I bet he had, like, cramps in his calves.
Big baller shoes?
That's interesting, because last year we thought it was the shoes, right?
No, I've done this before. When you catch cramps in your calf muscles. That's what happened.
Look, he's laying. Look, there he is.
Yeah.
What a professional.
Boom. Tracy McGrady could analyze any videotape. You throw at him, he will know what's going on.
What would have happened if he had turned his ankle like that?
So that's our version of being drunk and walking in stilettos? Is that what it is?
Being potassium poor and trying to play basketball. He obviously has had ankle issues, was out for a long time the last year. So
that was an all-time moment right there.
Big passports. Giannis out and running. Eurostep? Is this like a whole continent step? Like Euro-Asia, you know?
It was a triple jump.
How many steps are we doing?
When they invented the gather, did not have Giannis in mind.
Look at this.
That is incredible.
Right?
It doesn't look right. It's got to be a travel. It just doesn't look right.
You can't do anything about that.
No.
No,
don't try to take a charge because you're going to end up on a...
I'll get some text from the league, but it doesn't look right to me.
Ah, that's legit. He kept dribbling the ball.
There was a step.
Yeah, but he's lifting out of the air. You can't have both legs off the ground.
On the
I don't know. It just didn't look right. I don't like it. I'm throwing a flag.
Let's talk about the team out west who doesn't look great either. They came into the season with high hopes, but they have struggled. The Portland Trailblazers lost to the Warriors last night, dropped them to 3-4 on the season. Look, they've got a bunch of new signees playing in and out of the lineup. Whiteside, Hezonja, Kent Bazemore, they're all getting significant minutes as the team tries to assimilate them into the roster. Part of this is just due to injuries, all right? So we got to say that in the context of any conversation. They have been hit. Still, though, do you think that they undervalued roster continuity? Because they did make changes this season to a team that went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but don't teams that win championships try to get better for the following year? So I don't measure it like that. I just think with the injuries, the new guys that's coming in, trying to get a customer plan with Dame and CJ of how they do things around there, adding Whiteside in there. Nurkic is still out. That's the biggest key. Nurkic needs to get back because he provides a lot more offense in the interior and defensive presence as well. And they just missing that and trying to get these other guys acclimated in.
So the crazy thing about this Blazer team, they actually, if you include the dead money that they have the highest payroll in the NBA.
The highest. I thought it was like second or third.
Second highest if you don't include the dead money. But if you include the dead money, which they're either one or two, depending on whether you include it.
Whoa.
This is not a team that is built to, let's just see how we can hang loose there. This is a team that, this is a transition year in the NBA, which you talked about at the top of the show. So when I talk to executives out there seeing this, they believe that the Blazers are going to be active in the trade market as the season goes on. They have the pieces that required are for trade. They have a couple of big expiring contracts in Hassan Whiteside and Kent Bazemore. They have a couple of good young players, Anthony Simons.
Right?
They have full complement of picks. There's a couple of guys out there. What they really need is forwards. Now, right now, they don't have Nurkic.
I'll tell you.
They lost Farouk Aminu and they lost Harkless. Watch Danilo Gallinari.
That's what I was just about to say.
Watch Danilo Gallinari.
He will be perfect fit with those guys.
Why? Why is he such a...
Well, I think because he's a knockdown shooter.
I mean, Kevin loves the other name.
He's a veteran player. He can rebound. He can shoot. He spreads the floor for them. Opens up for the two guys that, are mainly their base scorers. And what Gallo provides, I think, can elevate them. Something what they've been lacking at that position for quite some time.
Yeah, the Cavs have been pretty clear that Kevin Love is not available. Kevin Love has said he wants to stay. I don't disbelieve any of that, but...
You don't?
I think if they got serious, they could make an offer.
I mean, you're not under oath, but there's a camera pointed at you. I'm recording this, so.
I think Gallinari is more acquirable.
Yes, I agree with that.
And we'll see who else comes on the market. But
Kevin Love's contract, and also what Cleveland is going to think that they deserve back for him in trade, and what a team is going to want to trade for him considering his injury history.
Also, we just talked about how they've got the number one payroll in the league. I don't know if they want to be taking on more $100 million contracts, but to me, this is a opportunity year for the Blazers. And yes, they're not at their top right now because Nurkic is out, but I see them more doubling down as opposed to pulling back.
So Sam Presti should keep his phone with him at all times.
Yeah, I mean,
Neil O'Shea might.
Yeah, I just think that they have the assets to make just about anything happen. For
can they make the move, please? I said a couple years, go get Melo. Melo would have been hurt. Gallo, if he's available, go get Gallo.
He wants it now. He doesn't want it in February. Right. Listen to Mr. McGrady. He's in the Hall of Fame. Coming up, is Anthony Davis really leaving the Lakers a possibility? He was leaving it open to sign with another
team. Wow, look how high
he was there. Discuss his comments about his pending free agency after this break, so stay tuned.
Now playing on ESPN. Tonight, a huge college hoops doubleheader bracketing the season debut of the College Football Playoff Ranking Show. And tomorrow, the NBA shines with a star-studded doubleheader. Watch live on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel. That's Tracy. That's Brian. We're going to move over to the Windy City. The Lakers are in Chicago to face the Bulls tonight. But yesterday, Chicago native Anthony Davis spoke to students from his own high school, but he did it at a Lulu's Hot Dogs. Follow me here.
Okay.
And he left the door open on a homecoming. Take a listen. The kids asked him about this.
Yeah, obviously, you know, there's nothing like playing at home. I don't know. I am a free agent next year, but what does that mean?
Next question.
We'll see.
Young man,
responsibility.
Let's talk about something else. AD clarified his comments today, saying he hasn't thought about where he would consider going this summer.
Uh-huh.
And he's just focused on this season.
He hasn't thought about it.
Mac, do you think Anthony Davis would really leave the Lakers this summer?
Really? Really, and go punch in the clock in Chicago. Really, you can't be serious. He's going to leave this out here. Come on, I mean, he's just giving his high
school. I love that you brought up the time card clock. That's amazing.
He's just giving the kids of Chicago a little bit of hope. You know, they haven't had anything in quite some time. Yeah. So, no, he's not going anywhere. It does, from a basketball standpoint, doesn't make sense.
So officially, Anthony Davis has not guaranteed the Lakers that he will resign.
Yes.
I have been told. And the Lakers have not offered him a contract because that would be tampering, Rachel.
They can't.
And nobody tampers.
Nobody
in the NBA.
In
that
the
has
NBA.
Now been banned.
So yes. What? They can't offer him a contract?
Correct.
Absolutely.
They,
because
it's
against the rules. There would be no tampering.
An unfair advantage to your own free agent if you talk to him about a contract for next year before other teams have a chance to do so.
Having
well.
Said that, he will be re-signing with the Lakers on a 5-year max contract. And, you know.
And but, what is
well,
that? 2-5 years?
I don't know the number. Over $200 million.
Here's what I would say, is that we've seen it before where a player who now possibly may pay for the Lakers, came to the Lakers on the last year of his deal with the assumption that he would resign, and it didn't work out. So there is always the chance that something could not, it could, things could go wrong and he
for
could
sure.
sign somewhere else.
Absolutely.
I don't think they will. Things seem to be off to a nice start. He and LeBron seem very close. No matter whether they win this year or not, I fully expect Anthony to re-sign with the Lakers. And to Tracy's point, I don't expect him to sign in Chicago. The Bulls right now are 2-5. And before we leave this topic, I just want to throw in Jim Boylan's quote, calling out his team. He said, quote, "Where we have struggled is mentally at times. We've been willing physically. We've been weak mentally." Yeah. So we will keep an eye on where the Bulls are from here, but I don't think Anthony Davis is coming. I will say, though, AD defended his hometown as the best basketball place in America. Take a listen to that.
You call it the Mecca basketball, right? What makes you say that about the city?
I mean, it is. We got the best basketball players ever. You look at, you know, the history and all the guys we got, you know, that made the league, and even the guys that didn't make the league, you know. They say New York, but it's not even close.
So he says it's not even close. Here's a list of notable players. We took the three largest cities, New York, Chicago, L.A. So along with AD. Chicago has D. Rose, Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas. You know that Isaiah Thomas. L.A. has a great presence in today's game. Kawhi, Harden, Russ. Can't forget
LA
Paul Pierce there.
Great presence.
Right? New York, Kareem, Cousy, Connie Hawkins, Kemba Walker. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think today, I think L.A. is the hub of basketball. Historically, right. New York and Chicago both have great legacies. I mean, but let's remember, well, he's from Chicago. I think Akron's pretty good. I think Akron's produced pretty good basketball.
What, Steph Curry
players.
And LeBron James?
Well, I'm just saying, if you're from a place, of course you're going to say that that place produces great players.
Seattle has some great talent, too, now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
How did Steph Curry end up born in the hospital in Akron?
Del Curry was playing for the Cavs, and back then the Cavs played closer to Akron than they did to Cleveland. A lot of the players lived in Akron.
Akron, the cradle of basketball.
Absolutely, without question. And Jakar Sampson, current starter for the
Where do
Pacers.
Players consider sort of just... Where is that place? Is it still New York just because of the history there?
New York.
Right.
Yeah.
I think L.A. has claimed the heart of basketball.
Well, it's not just people talk about that in terms of today's game, the two teams here, the way players spend the time here in the offseason. But I do think we have to note all the great players who grew up and came up here in L.A.
How about the championship teams that have played in L.A. with the Lakers? There hasn't been a championship in New York for a long time. Does that count for anything? I mean, when you were talking about Mecca, I think it does. That's why... You know, Madison Square Garden is the world's most famous arena.
Yeah.
It's
right.
It's the mecca of basketball for its fame.
Well,
it's not been the mecca of great basketball.
Yeah, but the culture of like Rucker Park.
Street ball.
And all the, like, yeah,
street ball legends.
All of that.
I like NBA legends. There's a whole fleet of statues across the street.
I could get Byron Scott, by the way, also from Inglewood, three-time
Crenshaw.
Champion. A little shout-out for you as well. All right, coming up, one fortnight into the season. Our producer, Jesse, really wanted to get Fortnite in there, and we did it. There are some performances that compare to Wilt. Yes, Stat Market is next. Oh, look, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Kevin Pelton's latest mailbag is up on the.com. He digs into whether preseason travel overseas is to blame for slow regular season starts. I was really interested to read this morning because I'm like, well, the Lakers are playing okay.
Yes.
But he's got good points on some of the other
I won't reveal because I read it, but it's not the greatest.
I got it.
Welcome back. You guys wanted to basically give a little love to Oakland, too, as a basketball town?
Yeah. Bill Russell, Jason Kidd.
Gary Payton,
Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Who else did we say?
They don't belong.
That's pretty good.
Is none from Oakland, or did you just go to college there?
No, he didn't. No, it was from Oakland, Michigan.
Oh, well, he could be the next. No, just kidding. Let's talk about the NBA season. It's only 2 weeks old, but we like to play small sample size theater with the numbers a little bit. So what do you hear? That is the opening bell of the Stat Market. We give you the numbers. You will buy if you think that these numbers will increase or hold steady, or sell if you think they will decrease. It doesn't mean you don't like the player. You just don't think that these stats will hold up, right?
Okay.
So first up, James Harden, averaging an unreal 16.1 free throw attempts per game. Only Wilt Chamberlain has ever averaged more for a season. And that was the year he averaged 50 points a game. Now, Mac, you thought that Harden could average up to 40 points a game.
Oh.
He's not far, by the way. He's like 37 right now.
He's 37.
So, 25% on three, as you mentioned.
Do you buy or sell Harden's free throw attempts per game, though? Do you think they're going to go up? Will you buy or sell because you think they're going to go down?
I'm buying. I think this is who he is. I mean, he's manipulated the system, right? He's a guy that averages.
The rules are there. He's playing within the rules.
Right. Okay. I'll give you that. He's a guy that shoots averages 14 threes a night. He gets fouled a few times on those shots, right? So aggressive going to the basket. I think this holds up. I'm buying this because of, you know, what he's been doing in the past and is just elevated this year.
One thing I've learned, if you are close to Wilt Chamberlain in a statistical measure, you are doing something outrageous.
Well. Yes.
Which is why this is the top of the market and therefore I'm going to sell. Not because I think he's going to not go to the line as much, but I think it'll come back a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. Tracy, by the way, I'm saving the tape from your average near 40 a game because
he's
already getting close.
Off to a slow start, averaging 37.
Right?
Right. Fair point.
Next up, I want to get to the pending free agent, Andre Drummond, who is averaging 19.4
again,
rebounds
we're right back
per
to
game
Wilt.
This season. Not only does that lead the league, but if Drummond can maintain, it would be the highest single season average over the last 50 years. Now, again, I'd like to remind you both, This is a contract year. So it's contract for the entire year, Tracy, as you pointed out the last time we talked about Andre. So given that it's a contract year, not just a contract month, are you buying or selling, T-Mac?
You took my sound bite.
Oh.
I don't want to even talk on this.
Well, I'll speak on it. Again, if you're near Will Chamberlain, I don't think you're staying there. Sell. Not that I don't think he's not going to have a great rebounding season.
I think this holds. He is so hungry right now for a lucrative contract that he's going to sign. I've seen some incredible things from guys that are in contract years. I am buying this. Andre Drummond is going to hold up 19 a game.
Here's the deal. There are not that many free agents next summer. The summer of 2020 is not the summer of 2019. And so if he can put himself with good numbers and be, if you have a team that needs to show its fans, we got a good free
agent. Will Chamberlain, that's all I'm going
to
say.
I want to move on to Malcolm Brogdon, who trails only LeBron James in assists per game at the moment. His previous career high was 4.2 assists per game. So 9.7, that is a huge jump. He is, of course, playing in a new system on a new team, though. So, Mac, do you buy or sell Brogdon's assists per game?
I think this is going to tell off. I'm selling this one. And the only reason is because Oladipo is not playing yet, and I think, you know, his production is going to tailor down a little bit when he comes back. So,
yeah, Brogdon is off to a spectacular start to the season. There was a lot of people who weren't sure about that contract. Mm-hmm. He is playing up to it so far. But nine and a half assists a game.
That's a lot.
Wilt had a season where he averaged more
Wilt.
Than 10.
It's all about Wilt with you.
I'm just
today,
saying,
huh?
He didn't quite get to the Wilt level.
Do you see Brogdon, though? I mean, I feel like he has developed. We thought he was good last year. We thought it was questionable that the Bucks let him go. We thought it was weird the way the Bucks and Pacers did that deal with the offer sheet, not having an offer sheet, but we won't get into all that again. Do you see him continuing to develop, though? Do you think that his ceiling's even higher?
I kind of thought he was great last year. I kind of thought that was who he was because, you know, he's a little bit older. He had a long career in Virginia. But obviously, the you know, one of the things that the Pacers have done very well under this current front office is pro player personnel, where they go and see other players elsewhere and bring them in, and they play better for them. And they
Victor
seem
Oladipo.
To have done that.
When
away.
You have a major role for a team and you're able to accomplish 50, 40, 90, that tells me that you're pretty damn good.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Former Rookie of the Year, although, again, I think Joel Embiid, we're not going to get into that discussion yet again either. I wanted to get into Karl Anthony Towns' discussion because he's making 4.5 threes per game, most of any player to play in. It's so amazing.
How many did Wilt make?
Minimum 4 games played. That's our minimum right now at this point in the season. He's never averaged more than 4.6 3-point attempts per game previously. So this is up. Do you buy or sell Brian Cap's threes made per game under Coach Ryan Saunders?
Okay. Under the terms of the game, I have to sell because I don't think he's going to hit quite this many. However, he is now playing a much more modern style.
Yes.
You know, under Ryan Saunders as opposed to Tom Thibodeau. And so, therefore, he's going to shoot a lot of threes. I don't know if he's going to make 4 a night, but he's going to have a lot of nights where he does make 4.
I hope he doesn't shoot a lot of threes. I mean, the kid is so talented. Yeah, he's making them right now. But I think in order for them to, for them to elevate to a level where they can be competitive against anybody, he has to be in the interior. I mean, the all-around game is what I want to see. I don't want to see Cat out there just launching threes.
I got bad news for you, T-Mac, because that is where he's going to be. That's the way they're going to play.
Well, I will keep saying that he's a great player. He has been a great player. I think he is continuing to develop. He clearly really meshes with Ryan Saunders, and I think that he will only blossom further this season. He cannot alone get this team to where they need to be. So we have to say the same sentence we say all the time. We have to see more from Andrew Wiggins. We have to see more consistency throughout the lineup. I mean, I just think that Karl Anthony Towns is going to be really, really good. He is one of the best big men in the game now. They need everyone else in there. I am curious to see whether Ryan Saunders, who I really like, can get that happen. That's the closing bell. That's the closing bell.
There we go.
That's the closing bell. Stat Market is closed for the day, but this has become one of my new favorite games, so you can bet we'll have another edition soon. And coming up after this break, Brandon Ingram dropping 40 against the Nets last night, averaging about 26 a game this season. Will the Pelicans regret not extending him? I thought this was a really interesting conversation. We're going to have it next. Tomorrow night, NBA Wednesday doubleheader. You don't need coffee because you have this on ESPN and the app. 7:30 Eastern, Warriors, the plucky Warriors, taking on the Harden-Westbrook Rockets. And then it's Kawhi and the Clippers hosting Giannis and the Bucks
in LA. Can't wait to watch this game here.
Is this an NBA Finals preview?
Yes.
Coverage beginning with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7 Eastern. And it's crunch time on The Jump. James Wiseman making his college debut tonight. Jonathan Givony projecting him as the number one overall pick in next year's draft.
Not DeMelo?
This game available on the ESPN app.
My guy, my inspiration right here.
I looked at some odds the casinos are putting out. Wiseman is less than even money as the number one pick. So they really think he will be. LaMelo is 6-1.
I just want to see what my boy Penny going to do with all that talent he has.
Man, he worked hard recruiting last year. You saw him out with Mike Miller, remember?
Yeah.
And they were, he's got a team.
It'll be a great year for him.
Let's move on. Jay Crowder throwing everything he had at James Harden last night. Now
James Harden throwing everything he has.
Funny you mention that. We're going to show that because Harden is still at 44 points. And got in this little low blow on Crowder. You can see him react.
Harden objected to the call.
Now Harden, right. So Harden receives the flagrant for this, but Crowder gets ejected for his reaction afterward, which you will also see. Right? Look here. He follows him up, kind
of
tries to come at him.
Ejection. Come on.
Extenuating the circumstances.
Really?
That's an ejection. Really? Well,
my guess is that just this week we had a fight with actual punches between
It's
two
justified.
NBA
Let
stars.
Me see how the ref act when one of them hit. This is family TV, guys.
Right. There we go. We showed a clip late last week of Paul Pierce accidentally hitting a ref in the face, so it does happen. NBA suspending John Collins for 25 games. The Hawks big man testing positive for growth hormone. In a statement, Collins said he plans to appeal. Mind you, he is the second young star to be flagged in less than 2 weeks. DeAndre Ayton also suspended for a diuretic, which is typically used as a masking agent. So he also, by the way, said he was appealing. Brian, how surprising is it to see two of these in the span of 2 weeks?
Yeah, and not only that, but we also have another player, Wilson Chandler, under suspension. One of two things are happening here. Either we have an uptick in PEDs or we have players that are using, that are going to people and giving them things who are not trustworthy. Yeah. Either is bad.
I'm disappointed in him because of, you know, the young talent that the Hawks have. Mm-hmm. He was playing great basketball. Yeah. Trae Young is coming back now, and now he's out for 25 games.
The thing about it is, like, the one thing about John Collins people say is that he does need to gain bulk, that his incredible athleticism, but he can sometimes get pushed around on defense. And this drug, from what I've read, I'm not an expert, is helped use to build weight. Now, he has said he took it in air, but... you know, and DeAndre Ayton has been accused of the same thing, that he needs to build weight.
Right.
So these guys, even if they weren't purposely cheating, if they didn't purposely say, that's a growth hormone, take that, they are trusting people to give them things mm-hmm. that are clearly untrustworthy. So I think throughout the entire league, if you're any player, but especially a young player, you are reevaluating who you trust and what you're taking today, start now.
Clear that through the league before you put it in your body.
Absolutely. All right, speaking of the Hawks, I want to get to our league pass game of the night. It is, in fact, Spurs at Hawks. Trae Young expected to make his return tonight. He was averaging 34 points in his first three games before his ankle injury last week. I think the Hawks very grateful it wasn't worse than it was. It looked pretty bad at the time. San Antonio was a three-point favorite. Now they're a 5.5-point favorite. Yes, Trae Young's coming back, but after that John Collins news broke, the odds went up for San Antonio. So, Mac, do you think that Trae is going to be able to just pick up where he left off, or take a game or so to get back in?
No, he missed two games. He's going to be fine. I mean, the four games that he's played, he's averaged 27, 50% from three. That's not going to change. I expect him to come back and pick right back where he left off.
Well, for all you fantasy players out there, Jabari Parker is the guy who's going to probably benefit the most. Mm-hmm. But Jabari Parker is not the pick-and-roll player that Collins is with Trae Young. So, this is a cascading effect down the Hawks lineup, and I was bullish on the Hawks to start the season.
That is an understatement. You have been the Hawks spokesman for the last couple
and,
weeks.
And this is such a – it's going to affect their watchability from a fan standpoint. It's going to affect their depth. It's going to affect their playmaking. Big bummer.
Come on, John.
He will hopefully learn from this experience. Speaking of watchable, Brandon Ingram had a career-high 40 points, even though the Pelicans did lose to the Nets. Ingram, remember, the number two overall pick in the 2016 draft. He's clearly had flashes for the Lakers and was sort of the prime jewel along with that draft pick in the trade to the Pelicans. But now, right, people are saying this is the Brandon Ingram that we expected. There were doubts, right, after that blood clot issue in March. Do you think that the Pelicans are going to regret not extending him?
So from what I understand, Rachel, from what I've been told, there wasn't even really significant talks about it. I think both sides realized it's now is not the time to make a deal because of that blood clot. If he has a season where he plays very well and doesn't have another health concern, next summer, the teams that have salary cap space are teams that want young players, the Hawks, the Grizzlies, the Cavs, the Bulls. It's one of the reasons why the Celtics gave Jaylen Brown so much money. They were worried about an offer sheet. So, but they still have his matching rights and stuff like that. What's helped him, though, and I think this hurt him with the LeBron Lakers, he needs the ball in his hands. He's a playmaker to have the ball in his hands. There's no Zion to take the touches. Most of their offenses go down and give him the ball and get out of the way. I do think he can thrive in that kind of environment.
No, I think they should have signed this kid. Being that he's, you know, KD-like kind of game, slim build, can shoot the ball.
Always been a great scorer.
You know, he's in his fourth year, and I expected to see this player. Like, typically, a guy coming into his fourth year, you know who they are, right? So he's showing me who he is. Me, when I was in Toronto for my first 3 years, after my fourth year, I went from averaging 15 to averaging 27. Why? Because the load was bigger. My role was bigger. I had greater opportunity. And the same with him. Zion is out. He has greater opportunity, and he's showing what he could do. So I think if he could continue to average 26 on the season, I mean, do not let this walk out of the door.
No, I mean, and they do have matching rights, as you said. He's going to be a restricted free agent. Those numbers are pretty great to see. That is the kind of growth you want. The blood clot thing, I get why it was scary. I mean, there was a question about whether the Lakers could even pull off a trade that included him, because you see the example of Chris Bosh as the most recent thing.
And one of the reasons it's scary,
he came back and had an all-star level season the next season, and
you
then
can't get insurance on the deal. That's what's scary, I think.
Oh,
for teams.
I understand that then.
Because that's what happened with Chris Bosh. Remember, they had insurance.
Right.
They were able to withstand that a little bit.
Right, absolutely. We want to get in right before the end of the show that Portland's Zach Collins, we mentioned earlier in the show, he has that shoulder injury. The team announcing he will be out for 4 months, guys. That is a hit.
That's a huge blow.
All the more reason why they probably have to make a deal to acquire a forward.
Okay.
But he'd be back for the playoffs, and, you know, that would be...
Playoffs? Well, you better get some healthy bodies in there.
Tracy McGrady, who should they call to make a deal?
OKC.
There you go. So
missing two starters now in Portland.
There you go.
Make it happen this time. Missed out on Melo. Don't miss out on Gallo.
We'll be back tomorrow. The Jump will be back tomorrow. Check out Bomani and Pablo next. See you tomorrow.